BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyways. Islam is spreading in our culture like never before. We are seeing policy changes taking place in schools across the nation. Its proliferation is felt on college campuses as well. It's happening in prisons across the nation. And should we mention what's happening in politics? I mean, just look what is taking place on the political scene. We have libraries also across the country hosting these Get to Know Your Muslim Neighbor events. We see Protestant and Catholic churches working together with Islamic mosques. We continue to be told that Islam is a religion of peace, and to say different marks you as being an Islamophobe. And with its proliferation, no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, you have questions about Islam. What do they really believe? What is their view of women? Are they a religion of peace? What is their goal of Islam? And many other questions as well. Well, today's program, we're going to be giving you extensive time to call and ask the questions you have about the truth of Islam. We're going to be having an open forum on Islam today. So if you have questions, in just a few minutes, we'll be opening phone lines and giving you opportunity just to call, and you can ask any question on Islam whatsoever. And we're going to be addressing those with our guest today in studio. Usama Dakdak is with us. He is the founder of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. He's a speaker on the daily radio broadcast, Revealing the Truth About Islam. He does speak fluent Arabic. He's translated the Quran into English. He's the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and the newly released Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Usama, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim, for having me on. It's my joy always to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
We're glad to have you in studio today. You were speaking at a church yesterday in the Oshkosh area, Wild Rose in particular, and you're going to be speaking in Waukesha tomorrow evening as well.
By God's will, at 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay, more information about that coming up. But friends, again, in just a few moments, we'll be opening phone lines. And if there is something about Islam that puzzles you and what it teaches and its proliferation in society today, you're going to have that opportunity to call and ask a question in this open forum on Islam. But before we do that, Usama, let me have you comment on a few things that are going on. I was looking at Jihad Watch today and learned from Robert Spencer that in Michigan, in the Dearborn Public Schools, all the meat that is now being served at the schools is now halal. Dearborn Public Schools is overhauling its school menu this year, and it says all the meat served in Dearborn will now be halal. Before time, some schools had offered halal, others had a mix. Some were confused about which menu was being served at what school. So to make it simple for everybody, all the meat in the Dearborn Public School, now halal. Explain that for us. What does that mean when it's halal, and how is it that this could take over an entire school district?
Well, Brother Jim, this is exactly what I have tried to tell the American people a good 28 years ago. You give Muslims an inch, they go for a few miles. Halal food is not just a chicken. We're not talking about not eating pork or sausage or bacon. We're talking about chicken killed according to Sharia, which means the butcher who kills the chicken must be a Muslim man. And he names the name of Allah over it before he kill it. So it has to be killed by a Muslim in a Muslim way. And then when it's cooked, it has to be cooked in halal kitchen, which means that kitchen which we will cook the chicken cannot have any products which is unlawful. So in the beginning, Muslim did not have a problem to have some halal food and haram food, forbidden food, in the same kitchen. Not because that is how Sharia describe it, but because they are step number one. Step number two, I'm sorry, we cannot have our chicken, the halal chicken, next to your chicken or whatever else you're eating, which is forbidden. So now we have to move to step number two, remove all unlawful food, because this goes against Sharia, because believe it or not, having good chicken and bad chicken in the same kitchen make the good chicken bad chicken. So now they're going to go to step number two. Step number three is full Sharia in America in the near future in America.
So we have this going on. Is there, you said there's a special blessing to Allah that's given over this food?
Sure, you have to name the name of Allah over the meat before you kill it. So you have to hold the chicken in your hand, left hand, and cut the throat by the right hand, and you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the merciful, which is the opening statement we see all over the pages of the Quran.
Is this why we will see at meat packaging plants a number of Muslims that are working across the nation?
Exactly. That's why Tyson Chicken, we talked about that a good 10 years ago, fired American workers and hired Muslim Somali butchers. They actually brought 240 Muslim butcher with their family from Somalia to different places like in Tennessee and in Oregon to kill the cows and to kill the chicken according to Sharia. A Christian butcher is no good.
Okay, so now we have this taking over school district as well.
Sure, and it's not going to stop there. We have Campbell's serving halal food now, which means the soup, the syrup, the broth we should use from the broth. Chicken, broth from the chicken or from the cow must be lawful so you can have the vegetables cooked right. It is taking the entire industry of food in America. And this will never be stopped unless the American people do what's right. And what is right is as follows. You go to Walmart and you find that chicken or any piece of meat has the word halal. You carry it by your hand all the way to the front of the where you pay for the chicken at the place.
The checkout?
Checkout. And you said, I would like to talk to the manager. And when the manager comes, say, I'm sorry, I cannot buy that chicken or that meat. Neither me or my neighbors will come back to eat this. Remove this from your store. Because if not, the day will come and you have nothing halal, haram for the Muslim in our stores, which means they will take the entire business of Walmart and any other shopping center where there is food. And by the way, it's not stop about meat. Now we have halal coffee in America. We have halal clothes in America. It is Muslims make these goods overseas and sell it to America and American people buy it. The day will come and we'll be like New Zealand where we have to pay 5% of the interest of everything they sell in the store by having the halal stamp on every goods. Nothing in New Zealand today can be sold in any store except have to be halal.
My. And that's happening increasingly to other groceries and grocery stores right now too.
Absolutely. And it will continue to grow. Just give it another few years. Trust me. What I'm saying right now, and people shaking their heads, thinking them, I'm extreming, I'm exaggerating. No, wait, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about because that is their agenda. And they benefit from it right and left. Right now, they're making 2.5% through Sharia finance, and soon it will grow up to be 5% and whatever number they choose to have from us.
Let me ask you just about a couple other recent events. And again, listeners, be ready. We'll be opening phone lines here soon, so be ready to call in with your questions about Islam. Perhaps something that's been puzzling, maybe something you've heard, maybe the proliferation you see in your community, but be ready for that. Let me ask you, too, about Rashida Tlaib. Last week, we aired a clip here on Crosstalk in which she was dealing with this facial recognition system, and specifically she was in Detroit, and let me air for you exactly what she said and have you comment on it. And she was rejecting white individuals, people of the Caucasian, from being involved in this. Here's what she said, and we'll have you comment.
You know what, and also analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not. Because let me tell you, no, it happens all the time. Okay. It's true. Okay. I think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same. I've seen it even on the house floor, people calling Elijah Cummings John Lewis and John Lewis Elijah Cummings, and they're totally different people. I'm just saying. I see it all the time, and I love them because they, like, go along with it.
Well, I trust people who are trained.
I know.
Regardless of race. Regardless of gender, it's about the training.
But it does make a huge difference.
So,
it does.
The animals.
Okay, so she was saying, I know. Your response to this, it goes beyond black and white, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Brother Jim. This is what we call the soft talk. I'm going to hit you hard, and I'm going to smile on your face. Here's the truth. Muslims picked up the right two women to run in the White House, one with a full hijab. In the Congress, that is Ilhan Omar, and another one, very moderate American. I'm talking about full makeup and dressed like most American ladies. Why they did that? For a very important reason. Ilhan Omar cannot talk about things like this, facial recognition. But we can get Rashida Tlaib to talk about it. Why? Because she fit for it. She was put in that job for that reason. What is official? We talk about official recognition. It is a scientific work with computer to literally recognize one person from another. The distance, how big is the nose? The distance between the nose and the ears, the cheek, the distance between the eyes and the forehead, all these different measurement on your face. Now, imagine with me a lady covered in hijab. That is the Muslim tradition clothes. What is the chance to use this facial recognition on her? The chance is zero. We will not use Ilhan Omar, the lady in the hijab, to talk about that, but we'll use Rashida Tlaib to talk about it. It is literally very smart move from the Muslims. And they put these women in that position for that reason, to stop anything will hinder the Muslim to fulfill their duty before Allah, living by Sharia, including in their clothes in America. Because if this thing get big and they get more perfect in it and they use it for whatever security reasons they are using, the day will come and then we will tell the Muslim ladies, you cannot wear the hijab. You cannot wear this covering on your face because we need to recognize who you are. And that goes against Sharia. So this is step number one. Trust me, the day will come when we have 20 of Rashida Tlaib in our Congress and they will force American people not to use this high technology and the computer system to do such a thing, because that will go against the Muslim code of dressing in America.
One other issue here before we open phone lines here into our next segment, and that is Ilhan Omar filed for divorce now against her husband.
Well, it is of course new news for us, because in the Muslim world, no woman divorce her husband. I mean, literally, I never heard of that in Somalia, where she come from, or in Kenya, where she used to live before she came to America, or any Muslim country, because Sharia does not allow women to divorce their husband, even though Muslims talk about it. But remember a few years ago here in New Jersey, on the Bridges TV, when that woman filed divorce against her husband, that cost her life. He actually beheaded her in the studio. She lost her neck. Up, she lost her head. He cut her head off completely because she filed for divorce. And that is a no-no in Islam. Will Ilhan Omar be able to succeed to do that? Of course, but there's so much trouble with this young lady. And as I said before, Brother Jim, and I hate to say it again, if you want to commit a crime in America and get away with it, number one, be a Democrat. Number two, be black. Number three, be Muslim. If you got these three descriptions in you, you can get away with many crimes in America.
Wow. Usama Daktak with us. Usama, we're going to have an open forum today. Are you open to that?
Absolutely. You know what, Brother Jim? Here is the beauty about VCY or any of this Christian ministry which expose the truth about Islam. Years ago, when we used to hear about this interface meeting and meet your Muslim neighbor meetings and on with this propaganda Islam meetings, they used to have an open mic in the floor after the Muslim imam or the Muslim lady speak for half hour or so, and people come to the mic and ask their question, any questions. Then Muslim got burned by that, because we don't have freedom in Islam to ask questions. So what they decided, they changed a little bit. First of all, they don't allow us to record videos in these meetings. So I have a hard time to get new material to talk about in our show, but that's okay. Number two, they will not allow you to come to the mic and speak and ask your questions or make your comments. So what they did, they actually decided to go ahead, write your question down on a piece of paper and give it to us. And then we'll choose which one to answer. Okay. We are not going to do this here tonight, but just in this broadcast. We will allow people to ask any question.
Okay, friends, we're opening the mics right now for you here to Crosstalk. Our telephone number here, our open forum on Islam, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how far away is Mars?
Chris, both Mars and Earth are orbiting the Sun at different distances. The Earth circles the Sun every year, but Mars, being at a different distance and a different speed, has a different timetable. In their elliptical travels, Earth passes Mars every 780 days or so, and at that time is as close as it's going to be for another 2.5 years. In August of 2004, they came the closest ever, but still over 55 million kilometers of distance between them. Chris, the orbits of the planets and the moons are so precise that we can calculate exactly where they'll be at a point in the future. This was God's purpose for the heavenly bodies, to help men keep time. Chris, I think they have accomplished their Back to Genesis purpose well, don't you?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's an open forum on Islam today. Usama Dakdak is our guest and going to answer the questions you have on Islam. And friends, the lines are all busy right now, but as you hear people to ask their questions and hang up, that means their line will be open and it will be available once again for you to take the call. So, Usama?
Well, Brother Jim, before we even get to the first question, people think sometimes that I am an arrogant man, prideful. I know all the answers for all the questions. That's not true. And I hope and I pray that all the questions will be asked today will be able to answer. But if there is any question, come to us and we do not know the answer, we will promise the caller. We'll get them an answer within 24 hours. So this is not because we're arrogant here, not because we are willing. We're ready to answer any question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, with that, we're going right to the phone lines. We've got Richard calling in from Grand Junction, Colorado. Richard, you're on the air with Usama Dakdak.
Hi. Great to be on the show today. Just wanted to ask the question, how is it possible in a land that was founded upon the Word of God, the King James Bible, that we could get to the point now where Christians are a pariah in our nation, and yet we bend over backwards to accommodate a religion that is sworn to destroy us? Okay. I would really like to have an answer to that, please.
Thank you, Richard.
It's very simple, brother. Here is the truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here in America, we never heard about Islam in the 60s, but they start coming to America in the 70s. And when the Bible said my people, he's not talking about unbeliever or the foreigners. He's talking about his people. Yes, America was built on the Christian Jewish belief, and everything about America was on the right track. But now we got a new disease, a new cancer spread all over America, and the American people do not know hardly anything about. And sadly, the liberal media and our politician, because of political correctness, are telling us that this bad disease is the best thing we ever have in America. So we are destroying ourselves because of our lack of knowledge. And I hope and I pray that people will start getting to this knowledge so they can protect themselves.
So you're saying there's a lot of deception going on too?
Absolutely. It's not just we do not know about Islam, Brother Jim, but what we hear about Islam is the opposite of what Islam is all about.
Okay. Let's go to Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Dakdoff. I'm so glad that you found Christ. When I first started listening to you, I doubted your salvation, but I convinced now after hearing you for a couple of years that you are truly born from above. My question is about indoctrination level. Are the Quran and other literature being allowed to be left in the schools? And is prayer to Allah allowed in the public schools, as we know that Christian literature is not, and Christian praying is banned? Thank you, Don.
Well, brother, here's a problem we have today in our public schools in America. Not only we turn the light off, that is removing every truth about Christianity, Bible reading of the scripture or prayers or any of the Christian teaching, we turn the light off, we remove all this, we allow the Muslims to come to our public schools and lie, literally teaching us lies about Islam. I have no problem for Muslims to teach the Quran in our public schools. As a matter of fact, I challenge any school in America to allow the students to read the entire Quran.
You're talking about the truth of the Quran.
The Quran for what it is. For mm-hmm. what it is. What we learn, Brother Jim, in our public school about Islam, it is their own saying, their
candy
own
coding.
Belief. Islam is love, Islam is peace. No, I don't want to hear that. I want to read the Quran. Pick up chapter like chapter 9 and allow the students to read it. If you will force the Muslims to open the Quran in our public schools and read it, they will beg us, please, we don't want to teach Islam in your public schools. Mm. Trust me, Brother Jim, I challenge any Muslim to allow the Quran to be read as it is written Not even my English translation. They can pick up Yusuf Ali translation. Mm-hmm. Because what Muslims are teaching about Islam is the opposite of what is written in the Quran. If we force the Quran to our school system, trust me, Muslims will be begging us, please remove Islam from the public schools.
Now, what's interesting, you said, do they allow the prayer? They are requiring in many schools for the children to learn the Islamic confession of faith.
Sure. It is the Shahada. They call the five pillars of Islam. And we covered this in many presentations. We talked about in our VCY radio broadcast, lies in the textbooks, or our presentation revealing the truth about Islam. These five pillars they teach, they teach the opposite of what the pillars said.
Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm sorry, we got put that on hold there. Paul in Anchorage, Alaska, you're on the air.
Hi, I was I grew up in a very not religious part of the state, and my parents always told me that Islam people, Muslim people, didn't like Christians. However, my youth pastor always told me that we should be accepting of other people. And now the time has come in that I have my own daughter to raise. And I was wondering, what should I teach them about the interactions between Muslim people and Christian people?
Well, brother, thanks for your call, for your question. Here is the truth. What Muslims believe is what is written in the Quran. Some say that Islam is a loving, peaceful religion, or Islam is a friendly religion. I will take you to Quran 551, where Allah said, do not, speaking to the believers, all you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christian for friends. For they are friend to one another. Whoever among you takes them friend, become one of them. Surely Allah will not guide the unjust people. It is sin in Islam to be friend with Jews and Christians. Muhammad said in the Hadith, do not initiate the peace to the Jews and the Christians. And we can go on and on and on about the teaching of Islam, which is very violent, very hateful. So the best thing you teach your daughter is the truth. Get yourself a copy of my Quran and read it with her. She will figure it out, as you will figure it out as well.
And as far as a believer, we should befriend.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Christ taught us, Brother Jim, not only to love those who love us. He said in Matthew 5, if you love those who love you, what difference does it make? Even sinners love those who love them. We are commanded by the scripture to love our enemies. Those who curse us, we need to pray for them and bless them. And if our enemy is hungry, we have to feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them a drink. So we need to love the Muslim people, but love them for Jesus, love them for heaven, not love them for hell, as many liberal churches do in America.
Does that take care of your question, Paul?
Yes, thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you for the call. We've got Beth in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, Brother Dak Dak, I just want to ask you, recently I found out that in Brookfield, Wisconsin, they are starting the second nationwide, the only second school, immersion school of Arabic. So I know there's a lot of immersion schools like French and German and Italian. However, I don't believe that they teach jihad towards our country. So I want to find out, what do you think this immersion school in Brookfield, Wisconsin is all about?
I never heard of that school before, but teaching Arabic is a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, I wish for more American, especially those who work in our FBI and CIA, to learn the Arabic language, because then we can figure out exactly what is written in the Quran and what Muslims believe.
Interesting. Because often we will hear clips come through the news in Arabic, and we hear some kind of English interpretation, which we learn later is not really a proper interpretation.
Brother Jim, everything is written in English, translated from the Arabic by Muslims. There is always deception. Even in the book Reliance of the Traveler, which is a very violent book, many of the Arabic there, side by side, there's Arabic and English side by side. The Arabic does not match the English because they know they can get away with these lies because American people do not know Arabic language.
So if Beth has information on this particular school, can she email that to you?
Absolutely. usama@thestraightway.org. That is usama@thestraightway.org. And the more I know about it, I will let you know for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Again, that's Usama, U-S-A-M-A, @thestraightway.org. Going to Micah, calling from Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, I would like to know what would happen in my town if a Islamic judge were to take, a role.
Say that again?
What could I expect to happen if an Islamic judge were to take
a position on the bench?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Well, Muslims are looking for that position, as they've been doing for years and years. They are infiltrating our court system, And they have already many judges, many Muslim judges in America, especially women who dress like American, moderate Muslim. You're not going to see the hijab yet, but there will be plenty of them. And sooner or later, they will force Sharia, at least among themselves, Muslim to Muslim, step number one. And then it will affect the entire country. And one of the rules, Brother James, are trying to accomplish is concerning divorce in America. They said, well, we as Muslim would like to divorce in a Sharia way, which means a man will tell his wife, you're divorced. That's the end of it. You do not need a lawyer, spend thousands of dollars and years. But what will happen when a Muslim man is married to an American lady? What will happen to the children? That's not what the media talk about or the Muslim talk about. That's why they want to have Sharia in our court, including in the subject of divorce, because then the husband, the Muslim man, will have the children and the wife will go out in the street.
Thank you for the call. We're going to Susan next in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Susan, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm wondering what the Quran says about circumcision and about female circumcision.
My dear sister, the Quran does not say too much about female circumcision, but the Hadith said so. And Sharia, as we know, comes from two sources, the Quran and the Hadith, the saying of Allah and the saying of Muhammad. In the Hadith, we have plenty of information about that. And sadly, majority of Muslim females in the Muslim world are circumcised, and they do this for their own protection. So you have to choose. Will you allow your daughter to grow up naturally, and maybe she will commit adultery, and you have to stone her to death? Or you circumcise her and she will have no temptation to toward sexual relationship before marriage, and then she will be used with Muslim man for his enjoyment for the rest of her life. But obviously, it's a very big issue. We talk about that in depth in our presentation, Revealing the Truth About Sharia, Islamic Law. But once again, if it is in the Quran, it is Sharia. If it is in the Hadith, the saying of Muhammad, it is Sharia. And sadly, now in America, in many liberal places, we allow Muslims to do that, even though Michigan said first that they are not going to allow it in America. But now the judge, liberal judge, changed his mind and he will allow the Muslim to do it in America.
Wow. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks.
We've got Courtney next in Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless you all and thank God for the show today. I just want to say I might stop eating Tyson chicken because I go to Walmart all the time to get it. But the thing is, this is a good program to show parents that they should take their kids, if they can, out of public schools because they're indoctrinating them, even with the Quran and things. Because the thing is, the reason America is falling because we're turning our backs on God. I mean, we've turned to sin. And I just want to say, even in Walmart, now they got a line of clothes for the men to wear, you know, like the Muslims would wear. I noticed that there. So I'm going to hang up because I haven't got – I'm kind of disgusted of what's happening to America and parents, watch out for your kids, what they're teaching them at school.
Thank you, Courtney.
Well, Brother Jim, this is a hard question for me to answer, believe it or not, because it's a struggle between homeschooling and public schooling. In one hand, I would love to see all our children are studying at home and trained to the right way. But on the other hand, we cannot take the last candles out of our public school so the darkness will take over the rest of the school. I think the American people need to be educated about Islam to go to the public school and force the public school to teach the truth about Islam or remove Islam from our public schools. We cannot give up everything we have the right to in America to accommodate other people or to protect our children. No, we need to fight for our children the right fight, and that is stay in the public school, educate yourself, run for school board, and remove these propagandas and these lies out of our public schools. Otherwise, we're going to lose not only our public schools, but the entire country.
There is her concern, brother, about their five-year-olds and six-year-olds and seven-year-olds that are going in, and it's not just this, but it's LGBT indoctrination and everything else that's going on there.
The problem is, once again, the church are in a coma. We're not rising up to stand up for our rights for these public schools. I can say this, if you cannot change the school system in America, maybe we need to change how we supporting these public schools through our taxation, and we will hinder the public school from taking over our future.
Okay, back in just a minute, an open forum on Islam today with Usama Dakdak. Our number to crosstalk, I see all the lines are filled up again, 800-733-9829. More of your calls right after the break here on Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Dakdak is with us. He's from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. His website, thestraightway.org. By the way, Usama informed me he's speaking tomorrow evening in Waukesha at a meeting at the Machine Shed at 6:15 p.m. That's on Tower Road in Waukesha. And also on November 1st, Rochester, Minnesota, November 7th, Wilmar, Minnesota, he is going to be speaking as well. His website, thestraightway.org. We're going right back to the phone lines. We've got Jane calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Jane, you're on the air.
Yes, I was going to ask, I don't know any way how to say it, but AOC plus 3, if you lock them in an elevator, what would be their defense? If you read Genesis 12, 2 and 3.
Okay, Jane, what is your question about Islam today?
That was it.
Okay.
If you locked these four in the elevator,
yeah.
What could they say for a defense if you read Genesis 12, 2 and 3 to them?
I never heard of that. That is a very new question to me, and I will do my best to investigate it. If you will write this question to me, please, at Usama, USAMA, at thestraightway.org.
So you're saying you've got two women who are Muslim that are on this elevator,
yeah,
and some that are not. And so I'm not sure, Jane, where you're really going with this question.
No, it's just that if you bless Abraham,
yes,
you know, the blessing, and if you curse him,
yes,
the curse.
Mm-hmm.
What could they say?
Okay, I guess I'm just not following you. I apologize. Jean in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have read an English version of the Quran, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that Muhammad said only God could know what you are thinking, and only God can change the weather. But Jesus did both, so if Muhammad could have read the Gospels, he would have known that Jesus was God who had come to earth in human form.
Hmm.
And Muslims can learn that from the Gospels, and by Muhammad's own definition, Jesus is God.
Okay.
Well, what's the question, Brother Jim?
So give us your specific question here, Gene.
Is that correct that Muhammad did say that only God can know what you're thinking? Only God can change the weather.
Okay, well, there is a verse in the Quran where Jesus was speaking there. That's the Isa of Muhammad. And he said that he knows the thought of people. He knows what is unknown. He's known the unseen. And that's Quran chapter 4, verse 171. I believe that is a verse where we can use to tell the Muslims, if Isa, son of Mary, can know the unknown, that means he can read your mind, that means he is God. If that's what you're talking about. Hmm. And we encourage you, if you do not have our accurate English translation of the Quran, you can get it. Thank you so much.
Let's go to Terry in Danville, Kentucky. You're on the air, Terry. Hello, Terry.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, Terry. Yes. I want to thank your guest for being there. And
mm-hmm.
And I think we need some encouragement. Can he speak to the revival that is taking place that I'm hearing about in Muslim nations, of Muslims coming to know Jesus Christ in a real way and willing to be martyred for their change in faith?
Okay, thank you.
Well, believe it or not, as we know, this is happening now in Iran and many other countries around the world. Muslim countries where Muslims are leaving Islam in the millions. Sadly, not all of them are becoming a Christian. So they're leaving Islam for the two unbelievable reasons. Because first, they read the Quran. Second, because they learn about Muhammad. Plenty of Muslims around the world have no clue what the Quran teaches and what Muhammad is all about. And sadly, as I said, many of them leave in Islam because the evilness we read in the Quran and the bad story about Muhammad. But thank God for the thousands of these millions who are becoming a Christian. So there is a revival in Iran and many other countries around the world. And we as a Christian need to be ready to share the gospel with all these Muslims who are leaving Islam.
Yes, and indeed there are ministries here even in the U.S. that are broadcasting in the languages of these nations in order, Arabic or other Persian, etc., Farsi, in order to minister and reach people for Christ.
Amen, Brother Jim, to that.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Richard in Burton, Michigan. You're on the air, Richard.
Yes, thank you for the program today. I'm part of a ministry in our county jail in southeast Michigan, and we are having a, right now, just finding out, it's been kind of kept under wraps, but our Christian ministry is there is being supposedly being taken over by the Muslims, and I'm wondering what can be done to kind of thwart that, get people informed. I've been using Shram Hadian's material, but it seems to not get out there. I would like to, I guess I just basically have to just keep pressing on and have prayer for the situation.
Okay. So you're wanting to know how to get Christian materials in the jails and to talk against Islam, or what, give
yes,
us your
yes, I do have Shram Hadian's materials.
Okay, what is your specific question, Richard?
But the in the jail ministry that we have, it's being kind of kept secret in a way.
Right, go right to your specific question for Usama today.
What can be done to what do they do actually to get involved trying to take over a jail ministry?
Okay, so how is Islam getting into the jails? How is Islam proliferating there and taking over?
Well, here it is, Brother Jim. We have the Nation of Islam are growing in America for years, and now the Muslims are reaching out to the Nation of Islam Muslim believers in our prison system. And sadly, all what it takes is one Muslim chaplain or one Muslim inmate in our prison, and he will hinder the ministry of people like this brother or mm-hmm. us, like myself, mm-hmm. to go and speak to them. I think we need to have boldness and we have to have love. Love the Muslim people in the prison system and have boldness. You don't back up, don't chicken out, and continue to go and minister and ask if the Muslim will not want to hear us, that's fine. Let's talk to the Christian inmate. Let's talk to the rest of the inmate in our prison system.
Let's go to Steve next in Wisconsin. Steve, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Yes, and Isama, thank you for all your work that you're doing out there. I just wanted to have a question that, you know, the scriptures say that you don't, that the foreigner will not take over your land. And so why is it that in the churches they're not teaching the commands of God? Because the scriptures say, if you leave my commands, that's when the foreigner will take over your land. And so every time you teach it in the churches, the churches say it's nailed to the cross. But they don't understand the curse was nailed to the cross.
Okay, so you're talking about directions that were given to the Israelites in particular?
Yes, to all Israel and to all man on earth,
mm-hmm.
actually, that know God.
Okay, Usama?
Well, I believe from the Muslim perspective, they believe that the whole entire earth is Allah. So they believe they will take it sooner or later, as Allah said, and a land which he had never set foot on. It will be given to the Muslim. Now, we as Christian, if you don't stand and take ground for where you believe and where you stand, I don't know if you take this physically as earth or our belief, then we're going to lose it. So I hope and I pray that Christian will take a stand firm for what we believe, and stop the Muslim from infiltrating our life.
Danny is next in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air, Danny.
Yes, I was wondering if Brother Usama could speak about the upper house and the lower house.
Sure.
And just maybe put it together in a nutshell, because I'm just kind of a little confused on it.
Sure.
And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Well, there's a verse in the Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, where Allah said, "Do not be weak. calling for peace when you have the upper hand. When Muslims do not have the upper hand, means they do not have enough people to fight.
That's the upper house he's referring to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That means they are peaceful. But, and that's how Islam always start in the West, in any of the European countries, or here in America, or Canada, or Australia. They always start peacefully. Slowly, as they become strong in the land, they will demand for their right. And then they force all their laws, all their Sharia, Islamic law, against us. So, Quran, the verse of deception, 328, teach the Muslims to pretend to be friendly, to pretend to be loving and peaceful, by their tongue, not by their hearts. And that's what the American people do not catch. We are a naive country. We believe Muslims for what they say and what they do, not realizing in the long run, when they have the upper hand, they will never be peaceful, because peace in Islam is weakness.
So it starts out, so to speak, in that lower house, but when they get to the upper hand, in the upper house, things are taken over at that point.
Absolutely.
When does a country come to that point?
I believe around 5.5%. And people say, how do you come up with this number? It's very simple. Check Europe, every place in Europe. When Muslims reach out to the 5.5% or so, that's when they demand their rights.
Wow. Interesting. And this is why we see so many Muslims running for office across this land. And it just a handful can really make a huge change.
Mustafa Saeed told us about that a good 15 years ago in Florida. He used to be a Muslim Brotherhood. And he said Muslims will run for office so they can control the entire country.
Interesting. Let's go to Pastor Mark in Missouri. You're on the air, Pastor.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I taught on the college level at a secular college for many years, world religions, and I was going to bring up a point and then ask a question, and that is that Muhammad supposedly had revelations over a period of 20 years from Jibril or Gabriel, the same angel that spoke to Mary, and everything that Gabriel told Mary was opposite of what Muhammad said Gabriel informed him. He wrote the information supposedly, or Zayd, his scribe, on rocks and leaves and different things over that 20-year period. And the fact is, he was illiterate, is what history tells us, and that the first biographical information on Muhammad's life was only occurring 130 years after his death. So my question then to your guest is, you know, with the lack of evidence in the reality of Muhammad, how would anybody even believe there's truth involved in Islam?
Well, brother, first of all, we have to understand the Quran was written in 23 years, the first 13 years while Muhammad lived in Mecca, the last 10 years while he lived in Medina. The contradiction in the Quran to all that which is written in the Bible is beyond imagination. As a matter of fact, not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. Concerning Jesus, as you mentioned, Quran chapter 3 had nothing to do with Quran chapter 19. Now, how do Muslims trust it? They told you it is orally. They heard it from so-and-so, from so-and-so. That's how, actually, they know the accurate hadith is you have to get a bunch of names. Sometimes there are 10, 15 names, generation. Everybody heard the father, and the father heard his father, and the father, and so on until you get to Muhammad. It is not logical as we understand the proof of the scripture in our Christian beliefs in America. But Muslims, majority of Muslims are uneducated. By the way, I disagree with you about Muhammad. He was educated. The word is used in the Arabic language is Ummi in the Quran. Ummi means Gentile. Otherwise, you have to believe that all the Arabs who live in Muhammad days were illiterate. Because the Quran said he was an Ummi prophet to an Ummi nation. That means he is a Gentile prophet to a Gentile people, the Arab. But besides that, Muslim today, most of them are ignorant of Islam because they do not know too much about Islam. 87% of the Muslim around the world never read the Arabic language, never read the Quran to understand it. So it is all tradition, and that's what they heard, and that's what they believe since they grew up into reality of what life is.
So my question then would be, was he illiterate? Because everything I've read pointed to the fact that Muhammad was illiterate.
No, my friend. Muhammad was not illiterate. He was very educated, but he was illiterate concerning the truth of the scripture.
We're up against a break. Thank you, Pastor, for the call. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
The
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, it's no secret. Today, if you're a capitalist, a Christian, you're deemed to be what? A racist. You're deemed to be a bigot. This is not new. I could take you back into world history and show you how this has been a systematic program. In fact, in October of 1945, in a speech in Washington, D.C. before psychiatrists and lawmakers, a man by the name of Chisholm, G. Brock Chisholm, declared, quote, "The reinterpretation and eventual eradication of the concept of right and wrong are the belated objectives of nearly all psychotherapy. If the race is to be free from the crippling burden of good and evil, it must be psychiatrists who take the original responsibility," end quote. The goal is to say that anyone that believes in right and wrong, faith in God, America, American ideas, and the family is mentally ill. This will increase as the days become more and more evil. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
Usama Daktak, our guest today on Crosstalk from thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. And we were just breaking him upon us here. So Muhammad himself, you're saying he was educated.
Absolutely. First of all,
he was a businessman.
He's a businessman for 15 years for his first wife, Khadija. And she is the biggest saleswoman in his time, in his life. And besides that, he grew up in a rich family. His uncle is the top of the leaders of Mecca. Of the tribe of Quraysh. So why you think his uncle, who adopted him after the death of his mother and his father, after his grandma, who died as well at the age of six, why a rich man, very famous one, will not educate his nephew? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But here's the deal, Brother Jim. The Muslim will say that, use the word ummi to mean uneducated, to show you that look how beautiful the Quran is. How in the world did Muhammad was able to write the Quran if he did not know how to read or write? But in reality, that is just a lie.
We've got David calling from Rome, Georgia. David, you're on the air. Hello, David. Okay, I think we lost David here. Let's go then to, Toledo calling in from Lubbock, Texas. Toledo, you're on the air. Let's try Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've got one question. I'll be brief.
Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go with your question.
I heard that the Catholic Church and the Muslim were merging together through Mary. Is it true?
Well, Muslims in America love to lie to the Catholic Church, and they have obviously a big place there because many of the Catholic Church would love to bring the Muslim imam to speak in their churches. And they use this lie by telling the people in the Catholic Church that we love Virgin Mary, and we have a whole book written about Virgin Mary. That's Quran chapter 19. And they use this as a point or a door to come into the Catholic Church. But in reality, if you read what is written about Virgin Mary in Quran chapter 66, verse 12, how she got pregnant, or in Quran chapter 19, or Quran chapter 3, you will see that what is written in the Quran is very insulting to Virgin Mary, is very insulting to every Christian. For this, in these stories, we learn that Jesus was a created being. And Mary, I'm not going to get into it. It's trust me, it is very insulting to Virgin Mary and to the Christian belief. So, but because the Catholic Church leaders do not know too much about the Quran, that's why they continue to bring the Muslim in, and Muslims are using this to deceive the Catholic Church.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just concerned about it because of that verse from Revelation 19 about I saw the souls of them which were beheaded, and all of that right there is connected to the Catholic Church there. Yeah. And I thought, well, we're about ready to get out of here then.
Thank you for the call. And I'd like to just refer you back to a program we did with Mike Gendron on the similarities, the common aspect between Islam and Roman Catholicism. And you'll find that at crosstalkamerica.com. We'll be getting more into interfaith dialogue on this Wednesday's broadcast as well, and hope you can join us for it. Fred is calling next from Milwaukee. You're on the air, Fred.
Yes, I wanted to ask him if he was familiar with the book Milestones by Saeed Kitab, a Muslim believer, jihadi.
Okay.
And thank you for putting the word burial in the death, burial, resurrection.
Thank you, Fred. And
Sayyid Qutb is the second man in charge of the Muslim Brotherhood after Hassan al-Banna, who established this savage organization. And he have wrote so many books, and sadly, most American people have not read his books. These books would tell you the truth about Islam as it is founded in the Quran and in the saying of Muhammad.
Herb is next in Montana. You're on the air. Hello, Herb.
Hello. Thank you, Jim, for all the many times that you've had Usama. What a tremendous amount of great information, and I have such trouble getting my friends and family to pay attention. Now, my question is, with the swearing of allegiance to the Quran and swearing allegiance to uphold the Constitution of the United States, you cannot do both at the same time. So why aren't more Americans speaking up? We do not have Muslims in the Congress saying and lying, therefore, they uphold the U.S. Constitution.
Thank you, Herb.
Brother, you have a very good point. How in the world do we allow Muslim America to run for office, not just to swear on what book? And have the American people read the Quran, which teach the Muslim it's okay to lie in your oath, Quran 225. It is I'm astonishing that we allow Muslims to run for office and swear in a book which teach them it's okay to lie to the American people. This is a big problem. And once again, that goes back to Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah. If we know the truth about Islam, not just the Muslim people who follow, who are literally victim number one of Islam, we will not allow this to take place in America.
A person cannot be truly loyal to Islam and truly loyal
you
to
can.
The Constitution.
Muslims already have given their oath to Allah, to Muhammad, Islam. And if you know what Allah and Muhammad said, what the Quran teach the Muslim people, you should never believe that. The title Muslim American, American Muslim is an oxymoron title.
Let's go to Toledo in Lubbock, Texas. You're on the air, Toledo.
My question is it all right, based on Corinthians on the first chapter 8, for Christians to eat food that is dedicated to Allah?
Should we eat meat dedicated to Allah?
Well, of course, some Christian believes that you should never do that because that is offered to a false god. And Allah, as I believe, he is Satan himself. But I don't think anything is unlawful for me as long as I pray in Jesus' name above it.
Mm-hmm. And others, if it's going to offend another brother,
of
weaker brother.
Absolutely.
Abstain?
Paul said just eating a sandwich of any kind or drink any drinks, of course. If it offends somebody, we should never do it.
Thank you for the call. Travis in Zimmerman, Minnesota, you're on the air. Hello, Travis.
Hey, yeah, I just got a quick question here. I was wondering what the Quran says about the return of Jesus Christ. I'll take my answer off here.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the Quran did not say anything about his return, except he will be the mark of the hour. But Muslim, according to the saying of Muhammad, said when Jesus come back, that is the Isa of Muhammad, he will be a Muslim. He will have four wives. He will break the cross, meaning killing all the Christians. He will kill the pig, meaning get rid of the Jewish people. And that will be the end of time. Of course, we do not believe in that judgment day. And that's why Allah in Quran 9:29 orders the Muslim people to engage in war with us.
My, interesting. Usama Dakdak, our guest today. We've run out of time. A lot of questions here today on the broadcast. But friends, thank you for tuning in. If you have further questions, check out the information on the website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. You may also drop an email to Usama at thestraightway.org. Usama, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always a joy to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.